Morning. Anybody in the mood for a story? All right. Are you sure? All right. Okay. Good. Last week, Rob and I were. He might have. Those of you who are here last weekend, you might have heard a little bit. But we were up in Coleraine last weekend. So there's a group from a church there. They meet and they go out every Saturday morning. They've been doing this for almost 3 years now. Every Saturday morning, there's anywhere from 4 to 6 to 8 to 10 to 12 people who gather, and they go out in the town center in the pedestrian shopping districts, and they just set up chairs, set them up facing out to all the people who are walking past, and hand out leaflets and invite people, whoever is sick, whoever needs prayer for anything, to come and have a seat, and the team will pray for them. Now, we went up to observe this and watch and see, you know, and the big question in our minds is this something that we can try down here? Would this work? So leave that aside for a moment. What happened was, it was incredible. I mean, it was an emotional roller coaster because we saw some just miraculous things happen right there on the streets in Coleraine Town Center. And then there were other things that we so desperately wanted to see happen and didn't. But who knows what God was doing in the settings where we didn't see anything physically happen, physically change. But let me tell you one story. There was an older man. He was in his... Now, see, I'm in trouble now. Let's just say it was an older man, very... not a man given to like, just rambling speech. Okay, very, very short sentences, very straightforward. He sits down. It reminded me of kind of a, he sat down and just didn't say much. He just says, "My shoulder's sore." And, you know, we tried to get information out of him, like, you know, is there a condition or has it been diagnosed? Is there, what's the problem? Just hurts. And we said, okay, well, we'll pray. How far can you raise it? And he's, you know, his face is just grimaced in pain. So we pray. And now these are not long, churchy prayers. These are very short, very simple. God, by your Holy Spirit, we ask you to come and heal this man's shoulder. That kind of a prayer. So we do this for about a minute or so, and still, but there's improvement. So we're like, okay, God, we thank you for what you're doing. And a little bit more. And next thing, now try. What can you do? And he's all the way up, and he's back, and he's moving, and he's like this. And the man, just tears flowing. His shirt was stained by his own tears. And this was all, like, within 4 minutes. And that just so encouraged me. So I started telling Rob, there's another story. There's a woman who, I spoke here in June in the evening, and so what I'm going to say this morning has some repetition based on that, but there was a woman here who came, a friend of mine. She'd had a major surgery in February. She'd had lots of pain from the surgery. There was complications. I won't give you all the details, but just a lot of complications, a lot of pain. She would have to wear maternity clothes so that the clothing didn't rub up against the scar, because the scar itself was painful. Are you with me here? So this surgery was back in February, and she came along, she got prayer, and went to another church service where they were praying for the sick. She got prayer, and she describes it as she physically felt the pain leave her body. The next day, the husband is watching and saying, "You're not bloated anymore." Are you hearing me here? The pain left her body. The bloating left her body. She could wear her jeans again next day. Thank you. Praise God. And the next thing was, well, we saw her about a couple of weeks ago, and she says to me, "Do you know what else happened?" And I'm like, "What?" She goes, and she was kind of embarrassed. She didn't want to quite tell me. "The scars are gone. The scars are gone." She had surgery, and the scars are gone. Isn't God good? Well, come on, you can do that. I know some of you want to. The scars are gone. Gone. God is good. God is good. Now, there are more stories, but I'll intermingle them, because God is just doing amazing things. Some of you, God has been doing stuff with you. You've read about it. You've watched it. You've seen it. God is doing amazing things. And I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of that. I want him to use me. I want to see things happen. Not just hear me well here. I don't want to just see people's arms being fixed, but I want that to lead to their souls being fixed. Because that's the ultimate miracle. If you have your Bible there beside you, turn to page 968. And page, we're going to go into Matthew chapter 4 on page 968. While you're turning there, I'll just tell you this other story. Because this woman whose scar disappeared, she also had, just keep turning, I'm filling time here while you're turning to find your page. This is how I can justify telling the story. Her daughter came home, her daughter's 7, almost 8. She came home from school with a very bad skin infection, some kind of, initially they thought it was just really bad dandruff. But what happened was, she began eventually over a period of a week or two to lose her hair because the skin, the rash that was developing in her hair was forming blisters and her hair was beginning to fall out. And gradually, just on the crown of her head, over a period of about 2 weeks, this was happening. So they went to GP, GP referred him to consultant referred him to a specialist dermatologist. But by the time they got to these meetings, more and more and more of her hair was falling out. And this is a 7-year-old girl. You know, it's in school. She's having to wear bandanas all the time. So the dermatologist, through what all of his diagnosis and all of his looking, basically says this is a very rare African skin disorder. There's nothing we can do. Your daughter's hair is going to fall out. Begin thinking now about transplants and the parents are just distraught. Short version of the story, a few weeks later, after much prayer, the daughter's hair is growing back. They're saying, God is amazing. God is amazing. It was a rare African disease. There's no treatment. Her hair is growing back. Are you hearing me? Sorry, I get worked up about stuff like this. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Now, if you turn over 2 pages to the right, go 3 pages even, just before you get to chapter 10, this is Matthew 9, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Does that sound familiar? The two verses are almost identical, aren't they? When the New Testament writers were writing their books, this was a literary technique that they used called an inclusio. Not an inclusion, inclusio. What they're trying to communicate there is, I'm going to give you a summary statement, I'm going to tell you a lot of stories, and then I'm going to give you another summary statement. And what I'm trying to tell you is, there are a lot of these stories to tell. There are a lot of stories to tell. I don't have time to tell you all the stories. So I'm going to tell you that these stories inside this inclusio, they happened all the time. Every place we went, these things happened. Are you with me? So Matthew chapter 4, at the end of the chapter, he's giving the first summary sentence. And what is he saying? Jesus went about teaching, preaching, and healing. Through chapters 5, 6, 7, mostly the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching all about this God's way of thinking, not the human way of thinking. And while he's teaching about God's way of thinking, he's also demonstrating a new way of authority and a new way of life and a new way of dealing with sickness. Are you with me? God's way of thinking, God's way of dealing with the sickness around us. And then he gives this inclusio. So what Matthew is saying is that all through the life of Jesus, all the time that Matthew was a follower, Jesus did these things, a new authority in teaching and a new authority over sickness and disease. This is what Matthew is doing in this inclusio. Jesus went about all the towns and villages teaching, preaching, and healing. That summarizes much of Jesus' ministry. Are you with me? This is the way Jesus lived. This is the way the disciples lived. This is the way the followers of Jesus lived. They introduced a new way of thinking about who God is and about what that means for their everyday physical life. Are you with me? So what is the implication? There's many. One is Jesus doesn't want us sick. Now that's a very bold stance. I know that. I've risked my reputation on that the last year. But it's a conviction that I hold firm. Jesus, God, does not intend us to be sick. Jesus healed everyone who came to him. Everyone. Everybody who came to him, Jesus healed them. Never did he say, oh, that's the sickness that my Father gives. I can't heal that because God's given you that to make you a better person. We're going to talk about that more in a minute. Jesus was motivated by compassion. It says in Matthew chapter 8 and in chapter 9 that Jesus was moved with compassion. The language there is that his very bowels, his whole entire being was moved into action. Jesus knew that his role was to carry our sickness and our disease with him onto the cross. Matthew chapter 8, again, within that inclusio, Matthew interprets what Jesus was doing as saying that he was quoting back the verse in Isaiah 53. Some of you are familiar with that passage where basically it says, he bore our sickness, and by his stripes, by his wounds, we are, you know it. So what we have to do sometimes is rethink the things that we've heard them so long, we know them up here, but we have to shift it from here to here. And that's what God has been doing with me and showing me over the last 12, 13 months. If you also turn to page 1105, the book of Acts, and we're just going to read this very quickly, page 1105, just a few pages over. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Peter, the apostle Peter, is telling a story. He's telling a whole group of people who haven't really heard about Jesus. He's telling them the story about Jesus. And again, just in the same way that Matthew was a follower of Jesus, so too was Peter. Peter is telling a summary of Jesus' ministry, and he says, and you've heard how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Another phrase uses that, healing all who were under the influence of the devil, under the power of the devil. Different translations will read that differently. He went around doing good. So there's a relationship between Jesus' healing and his description of doing good. Again, there's no politically correct way to say this. But I was very encouraged going through the baptismal service this morning. The question to the parents, do you reject the devil? Do you reject the devil? Do you reject the sin and temptation? Yes, we do. This is language, folks, that we don't use. To be honest, I don't go to work on Monday and use language like rejecting the devil. Do you? But this is a reality. It's a reality that we have to face, and somehow we have to come to grips with it. In our modern way of thinking, we've got to come to grips with the reality that the devil is real. And he has, for whatever reason, and for reasons that go much deeper than this talk this morning, he has an authority here on this earth. And part of that, the impact of that, the result of that is what? Sin, sickness, disease. The devil, Jesus says that what he did was the devil came to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, not God. I've been listening a lot to a guy by the name of Bill Johnson, and right here, I could just hear what he would say, devil, bad. God, good. God, good. Devil, bad. Okay, forgive the Americanness of this awful thing. The MO of Jesus is not to bring disease and sickness. Jesus came so that we might have life and have it more abundantly, have it in abundance, have it to the full. Life to the full does not include a debilitating sickness. It just doesn't. This doesn't. The evidence of the enemy's activities are death, sickness, disease, addiction, brokenness, wrong thinking, all of that. So please hear me now, because if you're sick here this morning, if a family member, if a loved one is sick, I am not saying that you or your family member is possessed by the devil. I am not saying that. And I am not saying that if you've suffered tragedy or loss, that was in any way your fault. Okay, I am not saying that. What I am saying is that sickness is not from God. What I am saying is sickness is not in heaven, so it shouldn't be here. That's what I'm saying. Are you with me?
Yes.
Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to what? Destroy the works of the devil. It's in this book. And Jesus taught us to pray, and we did it here this morning. Your will be done. Your will, God, on earth as it is in heaven. And this is why what Jesus did, Jesus going around healing, this is why it's described as him doing good. Because God is good. God is good. He's good all the time. All the time. Not just sometimes, all the time. And many of us, we can doubt God's goodness, and we can struggle with this whole idea, and I'm very aware of that. And I want to go into a couple of things that I think might be able to help us. But God does not give us sickness in order to make us better people. He doesn't. Tell me what's good about a disease that eats a person's organs from the inside. Tell me what's good about a disease that keeps a child trapped inside a speechless body. Tell me what's good about those things. That's not from God. That's not from God. 2,000 years ago, in here, 2,000 years ago, sickness was identified as from the devil, and healing was from God. 2,000 years ago. And now, we're confused about this. The church, capital C, is confused about this. We often think that God gives us disease to make us better people. Or even if we don't think that, we often think people who pray for healing, people who seek healing, people who talk like I am this morning, are just a bit over the top. You know, just calm down a little bit, relax, all in God's timing. I know, Sean, you're a bit naive if you really believe this. I've heard it. But Jesus came and he healed all who were oppressed by the devil. Jesus went and healed every sickness and disease among the people. If he did that, God's not giving sickness, because Jesus and God are one. They're the same. They're not working in conflict with each other. They just can't. Jesus says, "My will is to do the will of him who sent me." I can only say what I hear my Father say. I can only do what I hear what I see my Father do. Jesus, the book of Hebrews says that Jesus is the perfect representation of God. The perfect representation of God. So what it's saying is, if you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. Any idea we have about God that we can't see in the life of Jesus, we've got to question that. God is good. God does not give us sickness. Jesus represents the heart of God, and Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if this question of God's goodness, if this is a question, if this is something we have to wrestle with, just for the sake of time, I'm just going to go through. I think there are three or four points, just very quickly, I just want to summarize, that might be helpful. Because God works for the good of all of those who love him. The thing we have to catch here is sometimes, well, all the time, God is so skillful. He is so able to work good for us. He is so able to take the tragedies of our life and work them out to our good, that when we stand here and we see the good that God has worked, even though we've had tragedy and suffering, even though we've had that, God has worked good. So when we stand here and we see the good, we can often think, well, sure, he caused it, didn't he? Because look where I am now. This is the good that's come from it. God is so skillful at doing that. It's a redeeming of what's happened. But he doesn't give the sickness and the disease. So I'm often asked this question, why isn't everybody healed then? Hands up. I don't know. Maybe the kingdom isn't fully realized here in our midst on this earth yet. Maybe we stop praying too soon. I don't know. Maybe we don't understand everything that's involved. Probably all of those. But I'm not going to let that keep me from praying for the sick, to keep me from seeking the reality of God's kingdom here in our earthly circumstance. Because one of the things I've learned, I can't let my questions undermine the truth. Because see, we all have questions and we all have doubts, but what do we do with those? You see, the question has no authority to undermine the truth of God's word. The questions don't. It's what we do with the question. Where do we allow the question? What do we give the most weight to? Because sometimes we have to live in a balance, and it's a messy balance, and it's a mystery. It's a mysterious balance. But sometimes the balance between my question and living in a belief that this is the word of God and this is true, sometimes things falter. Sometimes, you know, I know what that's, I know, believe me. I could tell you more stories. Things that didn't quite work out. Friends that have died. Diagnoses that still haven't been changed. Those things are real. I'm not pretending they're not. But it's what's true. What's true? Because I can't allow my experience to undermine the truth of what the Bible says. Do you know what I'm saying? I can't allow my experience to be more weighty than what God says. This has to be my standard. It has to be. If this is not my standard, what is? So that's what I'm aiming for. And always, always, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of what's happening, give thanks to God because he is good. He is good. And even in the midst of my not understanding, and even in the midst of my confusion, even in the midst of trying to figure out where I am in this balance, he's still good. And when I can, in the midst of my confusion, come to him and give him an offering that says, God, I don't understand why I still have this thyroid condition. I don't understand why I don't understand why Helen passed away. I don't understand why my friends have children with autism and it's not going. I don't understand why we know these people with epilepsy. I don't understand these things. Why, God? But God, in the midst of all of that, you're still good. You are still good. And when we can do that, when we can come in the midst of our confusion and give him an offering of thanks and praise, we give him a gift that is so precious and so timely and so beautiful that that moment just won't be captured again. And when you lift up praise in the midst of confusion, you're giving him something that you just can't recreate that again later. When the emotion has passed, when the frustration has waned, the offering is different. So in all things, give him praise because he's good. And never, never stop. Never stop praying for the sick. Last May of 2007, my mother, who had been battling illnesses ever since I was 13, that's a long time ago now, but she'd been sick off and on for there were a few major diseases, but they reached varying levels of severity over the last 25 years or so. She was a strong woman. She was an amazing woman. Last May, they gave her a couple of weeks or a couple of months to live. When she got to Christmas time, she says, "This is great. This is borrowed time." And her perspective changed. It shifted. The doctors have said, "I only had 2 months, 5 months ago, but now I feel great." And she went through all kinds of, ups and downs. And to be honest, we didn't know. We were praying for healing, then we were praying, "God, just take her. Just take her. Don't let her suffer anymore." We went back and forth. But I went to see her in this past May, 1 year on. And I told her all these stories. And every time I went to see her, I would pray. And I would pray my best prayer. Because then that was for me, I think, more than it was for her in some ways. Because I knew that if I didn't, then I'd have to say, "Well, I didn't try." Do you know what I mean? It's not a performance thing, I know. But you have to give it your best shot. So I was talking to her and I was telling her these things. And she said something to me that I hope I never forget. And this turned out to be the last conversation that I was able to have with her alone and coherent. And she says, "Don't ever stop praying for the sick. Don't ever stop. Don't worry about me. I'm going to be with Jesus soon. But you don't stop." Just the strength of that was, I think, incredible. So, just a word of encouragement, I think, because I would love to see all of us really pursuing this to its fullest. And I know, I can be a bit over the top. Maybe I'm a bit imbalanced. Well, my wife says I am anyway. Maybe this morning hasn't been balanced. I'm not trying to necessarily be unbalanced, but what I'm trying to do is trying to correct something that may have been not quite as focused on as we should. I've been called naive. I've been encouraged to calm down a bit. And you probably will be too. You probably will be too. But when in pursuing Jesus' ministry of healing, in pursuing that over the last 13 months, I have had more conversations with people about spiritual things than I have in the last 3 years. Because they see not just that I care, but that God cares. And people see, I'm just not trying to be a nice guy. I really believe that God is good and God wants them well. And when I'm at work and I can have conversations with people about God's goodness and His love for them, it's a different dynamic. We had a painter coming to quote for a job, and I'll just finish with this story. He had broken his thumb recently playing football. He was a big Gaelic guy and played football for one of the clubs in Cork, and he couldn't hold his clipboard, and I'm trying to get him to quote for painting, and we had a big job on. So I'm thinking, "You can't hold your clipboard. How are you going to hold a paintbrush?" But I asked him, I said, "What happened to that?" And he says, "I broke the castles off yesterday, but it still hurts. I can't really. I said, "Can you move it?" And he says, "No." I said, "What can you do?" And he's, "It's hardly moving." So I said, "Look," and you know those moments when you want to say something, but you're kind of like, "What do I say here? Like, how do I introduce this?" You know those? So I said to him, "Sometimes I didn't know what to say. Sometimes I have healing hands." He's like, "Oh, you mean you wave your hands and take away all the bad energy?" I'm like, no, not quite like that. I said, I believe God can do it. I said, would you let me pray for you? And he says, all right. So he gives me his thumb. I said, God, just would you come and restore the bone, restore the muscles, restore the nerves, everything that needs to work properly. Just restore it to its created order. And he kind of, thanks. And I said, well, how's it feel? No change. So I was like, all right. But then we had a big, long conversation. And I came back the next week. He'd actually got the job and got it done well. So I came back and we're talking, you know, and I said, by the way, how's your thumb? Oh, man, that day after you said those things, it worked. There was no pain. And I said, when did the pain go? And he says, about 20 minutes after you left. I'm like, that's fantastic. So then we had another big conversation. And he goes, do you know, and he opened up to me on a level that was just, I would never have gotten there had we not had this opportunity, had we not had this exchange. So we have to wrap it up now. God is good all the time. He's good all the time. And I'm going to pray now just to close things off, and Rob's going to finish off the service. But specifically, I want to say, if you're here and you're sick, in particular, if you need prayer for healing, whether it's a disease, whether it's a condition, whether it's something chronic, I don't care. I want to pray, and I know the ministry team will be up as well. So let's pray. God, we thank you that you are good. And Father, where we have questions with that, where that doesn't sit easily, where it is confusing, or where it causes pain, God, I ask that you would come and bring your truth into that scenario, into those memories, into that confusion, and into that pain. But God, we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you that you really are our great physician. And that this is not just some nice idea, but here in 21st century Western culture, that you can come and interrupt the state of things and bring your healing. Bring a taste of your kingdom here and now. So we thank you for your goodness to us, God. Amen.
I think we'll just finish with a song. We've closed up in a few minutes, but just to kind of bring the two parts of the service together, I think is important, the baptism and what Sean's speaking on. It's a very, very, very challenging topic, and I, for one, are very challenged by that. And as I hear from Sean, I think it's only fair for me to say this, especially my family and friends are here. Like my own mother died of cancer, and I prayed harder than I've ever prayed before back in 99, but she wasn't healed. But the last thing my mother said to me was that I was reading the Bible to her one day, and she said, I know God loves me. Do you know that, Rob? And my life changed from that point on, and I know my life has changed, Graham's life has changed, Louise's life has changed, Alan's life has changed, Amelia's life has changed, Rebecca's life has changed, all my family's life has changed. And that's what Sean was saying struck me, that God does work for the good of those who he's called. And I know it's very difficult to hear that, and I know my family and friends are here, it's difficult to hear that, but I can testify to that. And when I go with my collar on into the hospitals to pray for people, they all say to me, will you pray for healing? And if it doesn't happen, I don't understand, but it's a mind shift and it's hard. We have to pray with a posture of faith and believe God for us, because we can't do it, but we have to push in.